Today on
Idea Tellers.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that even if I come from a humanistic background, an artistic background, I could actually excel in the field of data analytics.
I almost think especially if you come from that kind of background. Because, I mean, yes, there are technical skills that you need to pick up, but you can learn those things on Coursera in my particular line of work, like how consumers are behaving. Why are they leaving this trail? What does this trail mean? All of that is very much a humanistic background, right? I've talked to different programs at different schools where they have programs like in data analytics. They've asked me like, oh, what are the classes we should be teaching? And I say storytelling.
If you're convinced that data analytics isn't a field for you, you need to listen to this interview. Karen Krikorian is Disney's Director of Science and Integration, and she makes the case for storytelling and diversity in the realm of data science. It will teach you not to discount yourself from a tech field right away.
She will also teach us about data science and analytics. Stick around, you're going to love it. This is Idea Tellers. Hola, mi gente. Bienvenidos. Welcome to Idea Tellers podcast, to another episode. Today, I have as a guest a brilliant woman, someone who graduated from Yale University in psychology. She has a PhD in marketing from Stanford, but I don't know, she's a bit of an overachiever. She is actually an authority in data science working for Disney. Yeah, a bit of an eclectic background, don't you think so? I want to welcome Karen Krikorian. Bienvenida, hello. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And it's a happy occasion because it's her birthday too.
Yay, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday. 20 something, you tell me?
Yeah, exactly. I'm 20 something at being 20 something.
There you go. Well, it's such an honor to have you here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity. I'm really excited just to, you know, have a chance to talk about data science. I think it's a fantastic field. I think there's tons of opportunities and I think they're only going to grow. So, it's a great topic. So you're doing some great work. Excited to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. Because my wife works doing qualitative research for our church. Well, we're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And, here in Utah, there's the headquarters. And she works precisely doing research.
Oh, wow.
That is something that caught my attention because, that's what she does. I haven't done that since college. But what I'm fascinated about is the versatility of data science and data analysis. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience and how you started in the field?
I had planned to be a professor, was finishing my PhD and really kind of wanted to see what the real world was about. And one of the things that I was really excited about at that time, I was not yet 20-something at being 20-something. I was just and, you know, a lot of stuff was just taking off in terms of, like, the web, the ability to measure people's behavior without necessarily asking them. Because I'm a big, I'm big about how can we figure out people. So I bet your wife and I would have some really interesting conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was super excited about this opportunity because I was like, gosh, you know, we can see exactly what people do now, at least through part, you know, when they're online. And it's kind of like amazing to be able to follow that journey. I don't know that we've ever been able to do that before in human history.
That's right. In
such a mass way. Right. So I started looking for Disney's websites and then, worked on some e-commerce stuff at Disney, worked on the Disney Cruise Line, setting up the Disney Cruise Line to do e-commerce. And it was sort of related to what I'd done my PhD in. I mean, it was, I was doing some web analytics, some consumer behavior stuff, did some market research. And so it was related and really just have always been fascinated by using data to figure out people, because I think people are incredibly complicated and completely incomprehensible.
Yes.
You've been a little data to try to figure them out. And so, started at Disney and then, had always said, really enjoyed sort of the data end of it, the quantitative end. Went to, from there, I'd done a lot of work with the theme parks through their websites. someone called me from there and said, hey, we need somebody to do attendance forecasting at Disneyland. Wow. And I said to myself, I have zero experience doing attendance forecasting, but sure. And okay. I think that's actually, you know, one important lesson if I was going to, you know, sort of look back on my journey and what I've learned. I think jumping in and figuring it out, because it's so easy to think, oh, everyone else knows everything and I'm just, you know, the dumbest one and I'm the only one who's never done this. And it's like, you know what? Everybody has to start somewhere. And so giving yourself that permission to start and jumping in is so important, I think. And it's a lesson I keep having to learn over and over because I forget it. So I said, okay, attendance forecasting. And I went to Disneyland to do attendance forecasting and frankly was not the world's best attendance forecaster.
How's that for sincerity and honesty?
you know, it's all about being real, right? I wasn't great at it, but really was excited about the opportunity because, you know, Disney's got millions of Disneyland, you know, in Anaheim, yes. Millions mm-hmm. and millions of people coming through the gates all the time. Mm-hmm. And so much to understand in terms of, you know, because they're in a family unit, they're eating, they're drinking, they're making decisions, they're doing so many things. And so understanding that behavior and finding those little efficiencies was just a fascinating, fascinating problem. So I ended up kind of meandering into market research and operations research. A lot of the work, we did a lot of like menu testing things. Wow. Like, so qualitative work. So super fun and great job. And loved it. Did that for about 10 years. And happiest job on earth. I really adored it. The amount of data, because you have so many people coming through. I mean, we surveyed millions of people a year. Like, and so it was like a data geek's dream. And so then though, you know, I had been there a while and I felt like I was kind of, I don't know if you've ever been in this position, but it's like, I felt like I was like becoming the person who said, oh yeah, we did that 10 years ago. Let me tell you about it. And, you know, you never want to be that person.
Yeah, right? You want to innovate.
Totally. Yeah, because it's like that, I think that, and you know, especially as you think about innovation, that beginner's mind, that sort of feeling of, I don't know this, so I'm going to just try something. That is so important in terms of pushing yourself forward, your field forward, your work forward. And so when you start to lose that, it's like time to move on. And so loved Disney, though, and really wanted to, stay with the company. And so fortunately, over time, you kind of meet lots of people. So I talked to someone I worked with a lot on some pricing work. And he happened to be hiring for a role in Burbank, leading a team there doing data science, marketing mix modeling. And I had done a PhD in marketing, so I kind of had been down that route and, had learned a fair amount about that stuff. But of course, it's always growing and changing. Yes. And so again, jumped in and really, it's such a rapidly advancing field. I feel like I'm learning every single day. But it's exciting because I love that feeling of, it's like surfing. You're kind of always a little off balance. I think it helps you grow and be better and also just keeps you intellectually stimulated, which has been exciting. And so that I've been doing that job now for about 5 years. I lead a team that does basically analytics consulting for different business units within Walt Disney Company. We do data science applications. So for example, if you're trying to say, okay, I want box office forecasting that's sort of uses our internal data that's as good as it can be and a system to do that. Those are the kind of things we work with those teams and to partner and help them. So it's a lot of fun because you get to learn about a lot of different areas. I mean, I feel like I've learned a ton about movies, a ton about television. A ton about consumer products. Wow. Gosh, I had no idea how complicated that was. but it's been awesome because I've been able to learn about all these different businesses too, which has been fantastic. So that's kind of a not so brief summary of my journey at Disney. So I've been at Disney now over 20 years. And that's one of the things I like about working at a big company with a lot of different types of businesses is that I feel like I've been able to change, you know, I've changed jobs probably, you know, 10 times, but I've stayed within the same company and been able to kind of build some of that internal knowledge and equity and use that. So that's been, I think, really beneficial while still learning and still exploring new business areas and sort of pushing myself in new ways.
I love it. I don't know if you remember the 7 habits of highly effective people.
Oh, yeah, Tommy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a local, by the way. He was a local.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say he's Latter-day Saints. What is the preferred term? What do you kind of call?
Oh, so LDS? Now really lately, if I was going to identify myself, I'd say I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or I'm a Latter-day Saint.
He was a Latter-day Saint.
Yeah, I never met him personally, but I was in first row in one of his events once.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant man. And his 7th habit is something I highly believe in, which is sharpening the saw. And I see that that's what you've been doing, is staying, you know, ahead in the field and not dull, but actually trying to learn new aspects, different angles towards the field or how data can be applied towards different fields. And I commend you for that.
Yeah. You know, I think there's always more to learn though. Cause as you say that, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I feel like there's so much happening. Right. And I mean, you know, you're obviously a saw sharpener. I'm looking at your beautifully arranged bookshelf and some of the books. Can tell you're a person who lives the life of the mind. So,
thank you.
And the life of action, you know, this, you know, podcast. So maybe that's the goal, right? Whatever your sort of spiritual beliefs that, you know, you're here, you have been given a certain set of tools. And you know, I do believe that you have been, you know, you have a responsibility to build what you can do with those tools and use those tools as much as you can, as well as you can. And that's sort of what your purpose is from a, you know, why you're here standpoint.
I love that because what you do is pretty much giving yourself more tools to expand your universe. Now, you touched on something very interesting because it can be very intimidating to jump into the unknown, which is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I was raised in a culture that said it's better the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Mm-hmm. There's a Spanish saying that it says it's better to the evil that is known than the good that is unknown. I understand where that comes from, but sooner or later, if you want to progress, you need to take a risk. How were you able to overcome the overwhelming feeling of insecurity when it was something actually new?
You know, I feel like it's still there every day, right? Because you're always learning. I always try to sort of imagine, you know, I say this to my kids and it's helpful because when I try to give my kids lessons, I give myself lessons, you know?
There you go.
But it's like this idea that nobody was born knowing this. Everyone started somewhere. And, you know, like, I don't know, you know, Jeff Bezos didn't know how to turn on a computer at one point. And here he is.
There
right?
you go. Yes.
You know, Walt Disney, you know, didn't know how to draw. And, you know, he frankly wasn't that great of an artist. I mean, you know, as you look at his stuff, but he was good enough to help kind of set himself down the path that he was meant to be on. And so that, like, thinking in that way that, like, it's not, because we're all, I mean, one thing I always say is, like, you know, run your own race, because it's like your race is starting. Somebody else might be halfway through the race. Somebody else might be finishing their race. Somebody else might be racing in a completely different direction than you are racing in. So it's like running your own race, I think, is really the, like, something you have to kind of keep in mind, because otherwise you end up comparing yourself to other people, like, in a negative way versus mm-hmm. using those people who have, you know, if you're ahead of me, you're further ahead on your race. Like, I can learn from you, or I can be intimidated by you and feel competitive with you mm-hmm. and not get that learning from you. Comparing ourselves to other people, it's human nature, right? And I mean, yeah. I think we all, you know, fight against it, but it's definitely something that, you know, I try to limit in myself and try to stop when I notice myself doing it.
When my wife listens to the interview, she's going to just kind of start telling me, you see, you listening to her? Because I'm really bad at comparing myself, especially as a podcaster, you know, comparing myself to people who have been in the field for more than 10 years. You are absolutely right. I'm in my own race.
And your purpose is not necessarily the same as their purpose. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we've all got a path and a purpose, and we have a mission to fulfill. And like, you know, it might be, oh gosh, well, I wish my mission was to be a billionaire. It's like, well, you know what? You don't get to choose your mission, but you get to choose how well you do your mission. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, very wise. And thank you, Karen. That is very profound, and I appreciate that. Speaking of profound, they usually tell her what to ask, and she can give her a response like, well, actually, you might want to find this out instead of that question that you're asking. What has been your experience? One of the challenges I see in data or using data is actually asking the right question.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Now, usually in a corporate setting, at least I'm judging by it because of my wife's experience, you know, as a researcher, do you get to give your own input on actually what you need to find out is this, or how do you find out the right question to ask?
It's a really interesting point that you bring up, because I do completely agree. When I was in grad school, I think it's multidimensional scaling, learning some method, and it's basically like, well, okay, there's actually an infinite number of solutions that would fit this multidimensional space, an infinite number of ways to look at this data, infinite. Like, and some of them are a little more efficient, some of them are, but the most important thing you need to bring into it is sort of a hypothesis, some theory, right?
Yes.
And I think that's definitely true. And that's why I think it's so important to have diversity in data science, because the data is what it is, right?
Yes.
Like, there might be patterns, there might be, but it's like, you're only going to, there's so much there that you're only going to see, in a sense, in the directions you look in and you focus in, because there's an infinite amount of data growing infinitely every day, right?
Yes.
So what you hone in on is going to be based on the theories you bring, which is going to be based on your life experiences. It's going to be based on the relationships you've had. It's going to be based on the books you've read. It's going to be based on the whole path that's brought you here. And so if you don't have, and I've certainly seen this, you know, I think we've seen this in, you know, in examples where, you know, the, where, you know, some company builds a facial recognition software and it doesn't recognize Black people because they didn't have any Black people testing it, mm-hmm. right? I think that bringing that sort of diversity of backgrounds, especially into data science, is so important, because it does, people are going to look at things in a little bit of a different way based on what their path has been. And if you want to solve the problem, whatever it is, or come to the best decision or make the best product, you've got to have people who are looking at things from different directions so that they can see the whole picture to the best extent possible. Otherwise, you're going to end up, you're going to be missing things. You're going to end up with a you know, facial recognition software that doesn't recognize 20% of the population. I do think asking the questions is important. And I think getting a deep understanding of the fields you're in. I mean, you don't want to limit yourself, but you also need to sort of be able to understand the linkages between things. And I've seen that over time, like the more, like, I don't feel like I know nearly enough about movies, for example, but as I learn more about movies, oh, that makes sense. That's why people do that. This is why I think this one was popular, or, oh, you know, people, you know, you start to develop the theories, and it helps you kind of, from that infinite array of solutions that you have with all that data, to at least narrow that down in terms of the directions you're looking in.
Wow, this is fascinating. Well, listening to you, I was remembering one of my previous guests is a pioneer or leader in the field of transmedia storytelling, you know. His name is Jeff Gomez. He is the CEO of Starlight Runner Entertainment. And he has participated with Disney in a couple of franchises as well, and with Marvel and James Cameron Avatar as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I was fascinated by is how they rely a lot on data to drive the story in certain locations. Sometimes the client listens, sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely, through data, have been able to put a finger on what the collective vibe is.
Right.
Have you witnessed the use of data in storytelling at all? or how it can influence the stories we tell each other?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because this is a topic that I have been thinking about for quite a while and continue to think about. And it's really a balance because on one hand, there's something magical about the creative process. For something to really work creatively, it has to touch something, almost touch something new that hasn't been touched before. But I do think you can use data, like, you know, to your point around, so what are the needs in the marketplace? Like, what do people, you know, like, you know, I read this really interesting theory about superheroes' popularity post 9/11. And basically it was saying that, like, because, like, the world felt out of control, we really, as a society, have a whole really deep need for people who can save the world and save us and who are larger than life. It really kind of made me think a lot. And I thought, gosh, you know, that need is there, right? That need, assuming you believe the theory, right?
Yeah.
The need came from this feeling of, oh my gosh, like, things are not predictable. Things are not the way that I thought they were. Things are really unstable. The, you know, the ground I thought was firm is not firm.
Yeah, it's shaking.
And so entertainment, I think, can sort of help people solve for those needs, right?
Yeah.
But do you do it through a superhero, or do you do it through giant monsters, or do you do it through, you know, I don't know, some other thing? I think you can do it. You can solve the problem in a number of different ways creatively. But I do think that if, you know, we can use data to help people who are in that process understand that, hey, there's this need in the marketplace. Like, people have a psychological sort of, there's something they're wanting. There's a problem they're trying to solve in their own minds on a collective scale. That's what stories do for us, right?
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, data can help in the problem identification, but I don't think you can ever come up with a formula that's going to say, like, 2x plus 4y equals blockbuster film. And I know people have tried that. And I actually, I you know, when I came into this sort of area, I thought, oh, maybe that's possible. And then, but over time, you kind of realize there is something.
No.
Yeah, there's something special about a great story. I think analysis is breaking things down to its component parts, right?
Yes.
But a great piece of entertainment, is when that whole is more than its constituent parts. And that's kind of how I think about it. I think analysis and data can absolutely play a role in helping, but I think there's a certain holistic magic that has to happen in the mind of the creator that can never be replaced.
Yeah, absolutely. Data cannot dictate what we feel and what we, you know, are expressing. Let me turn that upside down, because I'm here's a shout out to Nancy Duarte from the Duarte Communications. So she's using storytelling to show data. And well, there is a big difference, you know, vomiting numbers and graphs there. And I mean, people are going to pay more attention if behind those graphs, those numbers, there is actually story. Has that been your experience, or have you applied that in your experience, or seen it applied in your experience?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely critical to help people frame things up, because we're not, I mean, we're, you know, ultimately, like, you know, we're social animals, right?
Yes.
We want to understand the world. We can't understand everything objectively, right?
Mm-hmm.
A story, again, sort of tells us where to look. It tells us how to organize information in a way that's going to be easier to process, easier to remember, and easier to use in whatever we need to use it for. And so it's like, just dumping data, it just doesn't work in terms of having the kind of impact you want to have, right? You have to. So, I mean, and I do think that people absolutely need stories. I mean, I think, you know, there's, you know, you need food, you need water, you need love, and you need stories, because stories help us solve problems, and stories help us organize, you know, organize the world, organize our understanding of everything, kind of explain things to ourselves, explain things to other people. So, yeah, I mean, I think storytelling in the presentation of data is absolutely critical. And I think it's interesting, because that's one of those things where I feel like people who are coming into analytics, you know, or, I'm a whatever, I'm a liberal arts kind of person or whatever. That's so valuable in this field, because that ability to explain things and tell stories, and because those are the people you're working with executives. They don't want to hear the data dump, right? They're busy people. It's like, okay, give me the gist, tell me the story, and so I can go do something with it.
Wow. So let me get this straight. You're saying that even if I come from a humanistic background, an artistic background, I could actually excel in the field of data analytics.
I almost think especially if you come from that kind of background. Because, I mean, yes, there are technical skills that you need to pick up.
Yes, definitely. That's given.
But you can learn those things on Coursera, Udemy. You can learn those things. But it's like learning that sort of ability to think critically and to understand, in my particular line of work, how consumers are behaving. Why are they leaving this trail? What does this trail mean? All of that is very much a humanistic background, right?
Wow.
And so I think that is, it's almost like a critical base. And I have to say, when I've talked to different programs at different schools where they have programs in data analytics, they've asked me like, oh, what are the classes we should be teaching? And I say, storytelling.
Wow.
Communication. I said, you know, because I'm like, I can teach someone Python. I can't teach someone to think critically, to be able to understand causality and convince me that something caused something else. I can't teach those things really easily. I can set you in front of a couple of classes and you can learn Python in a relatively short amount of time. I can't say, okay, now read these 5,000 books over the course of your lifetime and develop cognitive frameworks that help you live. I can't do that in any efficient way. People say, oh, the technical part seems sort of magical and confusing, and so therefore that's the thing that is the most important thing. I think that's absolutely important. It's a critical ingredient, but I don't know that it's not something that can be easily remedied, where I think the flip side is harder to learn.
Would you say that there is an empathy component that needs to be present there to drive the analysis as well, to make it relevant?
Yes, I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it. Because in order to make any kind of interpretations, you need to be able to put yourself in the shoes of that, whether it's the consumer or the person you're trying to convince. Putting yourself in their shoes and trying to see the world as they see it, and so that you can do your work better, whether it's making your presentation better or tweaking things in your algorithm. I think that empathy is so, so key. Wow, I hadn't really thought of using that word, but I think it's perfect in terms of what it explains.
That is great. Lastly, I want to ask you about Disney data and analytics. There's going to be a Women Award. Can you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Yeah. So Disney has an annual conference, which is really cool. Disney holds a conference where last year we had 300 companies come. So it's not just Disney, but to talk about cutting edge analytics, to do presentations, to kind of share knowledge. And of course, it's Disney, so it's really fun. It happens at Walt Disney World. And,
awesome.
And of course, Walt Disney World
Yes.
has a lot of fun things there. So this particular program that we have is it's for primarily students, undergrad or grad students, or people who are recently graduated. So say within the past 10 months, since like last December, you apply. There's a Disney Data Conference /DDAW, and you can get an award to actually go to the conference for free, get there for free. So travel, lodging, food, theme park fun, as well as the conference. There's also, you get some one-on-one mentoring. You're assigned to signed a mentor who takes you through the whole experience and kind of talks about their Disney experience. So there's a lot of networking opportunities. We've had some great experiences with people who have applied for and gotten this award and then come to the conference, because often, you know, they'll meet a lot of people. We've had great success with people who weren't necessarily thinking about themselves as data scientists, actually coming to work for Disney and becoming data scientists because they got exposed to a lot through this program. Definitely something to check out and consider. From my standpoint, I think like one thing that's important, I mean, this is Disney Data and Analytics Women. It sort of sponsors the award, but the diversity across many dimensions is really important because of that kind of problem I think we talked about a little earlier in terms of the, what do you focus on in the data? If you don't have a diverse group of data scientists, they're not necessarily going to solve the problems in an optimal way. You need to have multiple perspectives. And that's why I think from a company standpoint, that making sure you have strong representation across different groups, different identities is absolutely critical. And that's what this program tries to do, is bring people in who might not otherwise be considering data science as a potential career and teach them about it in a way that's pretty fun.
Wow. Karen, this has been most fascinating, and I want to thank you again for accepting being a guest on my podcast. Needless to say, you are welcome to come back as a guest anytime. This is the type of conversations that our people need, this type of enriching conversation. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, please.
Karen Krikorian.
This is Idea Tellers.
Thank you.